Hey everybody, it's Lacey.
And I'm Lauren.
And welcome to another episode of the Llamas Podcast.
And so today we're continuing our series on being a millennial, but today we're talking about being a millennial mom. So that's what, like, and how being a millennial has definitely impacted our parenting and how it is different than the prior generations and how it's the same. And we're going to go into that today, but Lacey's going to tell us some Mac story first.
So I had a trial on Monday and it went really well. So I took Tuesday off and I went and got a pedicure. And usually I stay with pink or red with my toes, but I want to do something different, just like I did something different with my hair. I don't know what's going on in my head. But anyways, so I went with like teal, but it's more blue than green. And so I get home and Mac had to use the bathroom. So I went in there to help him. And he said, "Mommy, your toes, they're blue." And I said, "Yeah, buddy, do you like it?" And he goes, "No, where's the pink?" And I'm like, "Well, I just decided to change it up." And he just walked out in disgust. And then last night he brought it back up again and he's like, "Mommy, your toes, they're still blue." I was like, "I know." I said, "Do you like it now?" And he said, "No."
Aww.
So it's just brutal honesty, like that kid. But yeah, they're blue.
Well, mine are, fingers are currently yellow.
I don't think you would like that either.
They're used to it, but usually there's a fight if, like, I do want to, like, so I avoid a lot of times pink and purple because those are my kids' two favorite colors. So, if I get pink, Matt is like, "Right, why didn't you get purple?" If I get purple, why didn't you get pink? But I did do purple for Easter because it's just the Easter color.
Yeah. I did ask Mac, I said, "Do you want me to paint your toes blue?" He said, "No." So he is just absolutely disgusted with my pedicure choice this week. I just never thought he would care. Things that kids pick up on too. But yeah, well, he was disgusted.
Well, this week I was in my room changing clothes and Maddie runs into the room. And as I'm changing clothes, she looks at me and she goes, "You got small boobies." I was like, "Thanks, Maddie. Thanks." I was like, "They're because of you. Everything has changed and shrunk right. And fell and not the same as what they were years ago."
You ain't lying there. You are not lying there. So that is a good way to lead into raising kids being millennials, and you bring up a good point. So, like, you know, you're changing and your kids feel comfortable, you know, just walking in. And I have two boys, it's the same. Like, there's no difference. If I'm taking a bath, they come in, and if I'm changing, they come in. Now, that's how I was raised as well, but I did have a single mom, you know, so seeing my mom changing clothes or in the bath was not abnormal for me, but, you know, was it for you? Different?
No, like growing up, like sometimes my mom would stick me in the bathtub with or in the shower with her because it was just easier, I guess.
Right.
Now, obviously, like for me, I did not see my dad naked. And that's what we do, like in our house, like, so this is kind of like having two girls and a husband. I have no privacy ever. When I go to shower, they will come in. They will get in the shower and play. When I go to poop, they sit there with me. Before when I had Harvey, he also joined in. So, like, yeah. I had two children and a dog watching me at all times. Like, with Wes, he does get to shut the door. Like, he locks the door. They don't come in. Sure. But I will say, in Maddie's preschool class, they all leave the door open when they go potty. So I don't know, like, it would it, but I noticed that the other day. I was like, they got to leave the door open because the teacher needs to watch them and make sure they don't fall in the toilet.
Yeah. I think they have certain guidelines. Like, they can't leave so many kids unattended by themselves. Cause I remember we had that issue. Not really issue. I just remember hearing about it when Luke was at Cutler. I think there are DSS guidelines and stuff like that. So, well, I guess the lack of privacy and seeing stuff like that is probably the same. Like you were saying, there's some similarities between our parents and how we parent. And I've talked to my mother-in-law, and she raised two boys, and she said it was the same as well. Just, you know, it was not abnormal for her to be taking a bath, and when the boys come in and be like, hey, mom, I need this or I need that. Like, it was just, you know, one of those things that was natural and never abnormal. I will say, I do think as a millennial, we are more in touch with our kids' feelings. Like, I know, like the other day, Mac was mad at Luke for, he had built a tower and Luke knocked it down. And I came in there and he goes, I am angry. I'm like, why are you angry? And so he told me what happened. And I said, okay, well, I understand that you are angry. I would be angry too. And then I talked to Luke about knocking down his tower and that made Mac angry. And so then Mac was like, okay, Bubba, let's build another tower. And so, you know, they moved along. And, you know, when I was growing up, if I was, I'm angry, I'm upset or anything like that, my mom would just be like, get over it and move on. Just go play with your sister. You know, so those feelings of validate. And I'm not saying, I think that's how she was probably raised as well with her siblings.
I will say I can go either way, because sometimes if you are crying over nothing, I gotta teach you life is hard, get over it, move on. Yeah. Like, there has got to be nothing, like,
right. Or does it make sense? Yes, I agree there. Yeah, like, there's been times
if it's like something, like, obviously if you're hurt, I'm going to comfort you and say that. But mm-hmm. if you're mad because your sister got the pink gumball and you got the blue gumball, like, no, I'm not dealing with that. I'm like, no. And that was a conversation we had the other night, was fair and equal are not the same things. And we've got to get over that. And so I guess, like, that's some things that are different than the same. Like, I don't know, like, for me, I feel like I guess growing up, it was spare the rod, spoil the child type thing. And that is not me. I'm not a spanking parent for the most part. So I think that's one of mine. And I'm not an anti-spanking person. Spanking just does nothing to my children at all. Like, that's not a way to punish them where they actually feel the punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me.
Now, going back to what you said with fair is not equal, right? And you explained that to your girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been another situation. I feel like I would have been told, just get over it. Whether you got the pink or the like purple, just get over it. Whereas, like, you sat down and explained why, you know, maybe the action, you know, whatever they were feeling, you know, maybe wasn't appropriate at that time. Like, you do have to learn hard lessons and you're the parent to guide them. But again, I don't feel like a lot of, and this isn't just my mom, you know, I had several adults in my life. It takes a village. I'm talking about everybody that helped shape me and raise me. You know, it was not, let's sit down and talk about fair and equal. And it wasn't a teaching moment about life where, like, you took that opportunity as a teaching moment. And I feel like I do that as well. I was not taught that though. Like, it was just, I was never, like, validated in my feelings, or if my feelings were off, I was never sat down to learn, you know, about life and what's, you know, fair and equal, stuff like that. It was just no acknowledgement there at all. So were your parents different, or is that a millennial thing?
I think my parents were different, because, like, if I had came home from school and, like, I'd had a rough day and was bullied, like, my parents were not, like, get over it. My mom was like, I'm going to write the teacher. You're going to get your seat moved because you don't deserve to be treated that way. Like, I was like, overall, I think my parents were, I mean, like, we didn't sit down and have therapy, but they very much validated my feelings a lot of times as a child. They probably validate them less as an adult now, and I get more get over it talks. But as a child, I do think my parents are pretty good at that and just making sure, like, I don't know. I'm also an only child, so, like, that's something that's different with me. Like, so I wasn't ever bickering with a sibling. And I can see, like, from my kids, they fight with each other constantly. I can see how it's annoying, and you want to tell them just get over it. So, like, I can see that. But I think being an only child is different, because I wasn't bickering in their house. Like, it was somebody else hurt my feelings, or, like, somebody got to go on this trip and I didn't. I remember in high school, I made a B in band, and I've never made B's in my life. Like, My first B ever right. was in marching band, and I cried. And my parents comforted me and told me my teacher was stupid. So, like, I will say, like, I had very – but I think the difference in, like, I think some of it was, like, I was just a good kid, too. So, like, my parents didn't have to deal with it. I will say there was one time I was really bad at when my grandma was getting her hair cut. Her hairstyle. My grandma went to the beauty parlor every Friday. And I went with her, and I was bad. And my grandma was old school, and although she never really did anything because she loved me too much and just couldn't, but she was, I'm going to get the switch and beat your butt when we get home. So I got in the car with her, and I started praying, dear God, don't let my grandma, I called her Mimi, don't let my Mimi beat me when I get home with the switch. So at that moment, she did not pop me because all faith and religion would be gone. We're in the South. So she had to keep that up. And I will say, like, that's probably, like, I think that's kind of one of the biggest differences for us is, like, the spanking and that type stuff. And, I mean, you do you. Like, obviously don't abuse your child right. type thing. Yeah. But also, I guess, I am more helicopter. I think that is something that is really different between millennials and my parents because, like, things have just changed. Like, when we went to school, our parents had no idea what went on in the school day till we got home and told them or a note was sent home. Where I sit here on my phone and I get updates on what's happening at preschool. So I think we as a generation are more helicoptery because of all the technology and stuff.
I don't think it's just the technology either. I think we have, well, I mean, I guess because of the technology, we have access to more information, right? I will say that. So, like, we did sleepovers and I would sleep over at Lauren's house. We had like a group of girls and we would rotate sleeping over at each other's birthdays. And before I knew Lauren, my Monarch crew from elementary school, there's five of us, right? So it was me, Candy, Rachel, Sarah, and Leah. And every birthday there was a sleepover. We started that in like second or third grade or something, but all our parents knew each other. Like we're also from a small town. And I think that makes a difference too. Like, Candy's mom is Gwen. Like, my mom would see Gwen in the store that she worked in all the time. She knew both Leah's parents. She would see her mom and dad, so she knew them very well. Rachel's mom was a teacher, so, like, she didn't know Rachel's mom as well, but she was a teacher, so, you know, she trusted her. Sarah went to my church. Like, I grew up with her and, you know, her mom, and I knew her and all her siblings, and so my mom did as well. And so, like, my mom probably, when I went to go sleep over at their houses, didn't bat an eye, you know, or worry about it. Whereas I can't think of one person I have one person I would trust my kids with staying the night with right now, and that's Brittany, TV Paul. And Mac has stayed the night at her house. But again, I have known Brittany since I was 18 years old. So, like, I've known her almost 20 years. And I have known her husband probably half that time. Her sister-in-law has been my nanny for both of my kids since birth. And, you know, her parents, Brittany's in-laws, have helped raise my kids. So it's like, I truly feel like we have become family because I am away from my family. So it's a completely different dynamic. But I also acknowledge that that's rarely, really rare with people our age to have that. You know, like I'm so lucky to have that. But that is the only person that I would trust with my kids staying the night. And Luke is even more of a question mark with sleepovers because he's an escape artist. Like, he has gotten out in the middle of the night at my mom's house. So, you know, for him to sleep anywhere except for at home where we have a gate that locks him upstairs makes me a nervous wreck. So I do think sleepovers and safety and that, just like you had those small communities like we did when we grew up, like our parents knowing each other and having that comfort, I just don't think that that really exists as much now.
Yeah, I will say, like, I mean, obviously, I think mine are too little to spend the night with, like, friends right now because they're just too little in general. Like, they have only spent the night at my mom's house at this point outside of my house or, like, vacation or whatever. And that's kind of one of those things in the future. Like, I am getting – so we go to a small private school. So, like, I am getting to know some of the other parents and stuff. But it is going to take a lot before I would ever feel comfortable to let my kids spend, there are people I'll let my kids spend the night, like family and very, very, like if something happened and I was in an emergency, I would not think twice about like my friend Sue coming over and watching my kids, like, and spending the night with them. But like outside of those type people that I've known forever and really trust, it is going to take a lot. And I just feel like we as a bunch of, like, I think like sleepovers are kind of a thing of the past sometimes because most of us feel this way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like, Erin Bailey is an attorney. She blew up on TikTok because how she doesn't let her kids do sleepovers. And she said, you know, because essay, I don't know if it'll block it out on the podcast if I say it, usually happens with somebody that you know, not a stranger. So that is a concern. And also like guns, you don't know where, you know, what people's policies are on guns. And like, we don't, like my husband does have guns, but they were passed down. So like, we're not using them. We don't see, like our kids don't see guns. So they would not know what's safe and unsafe about a gun. And I mean, I guess I need to start educating my children on that, but that concerns me too, because they're not exposed to that. So they wouldn't know what's safe and unsafe at this point. And yes, I acknowledge that as a parent, I need to teach that, but also they're just not exposed to it for me to teach at this point. And so I wouldn't want them to be exposed to that at another house that may not, you know, have the safety protocols, because their kids know the difference.
Yeah. And I mean, I think even things like that our parents never took into account that like I think about, or even like pets, like obviously I have a dog and he is, I took him to training and the woman asked me if he was on crack. He is so hyper. So pretty much like I do keep him up, like when people are in my house or like that type of stuff, because he's tiny. He's like, I don't know, 15 pounds. And he's very sweet. He is not aggressive in the least bit, but he can hurt you real quick because he is real hard, plays real hard. But I know, okay, somebody's coming over to put him up. And my children understand pet safety. Like, they know, like, you don't grab a dog's foot, because I've taught them that. But, like, if I let, you know, if you go over to somebody's house and, like, there's never been around pets and they have a dog, that dog could, if you haven't taught your kid pet safety, and because they've never needed it and they pull the dog bite. Right. Like, there's a lot of things. And my parents probably never thought about, oh, she shouldn't go over there because of some animals, because I'm just going to love on it anyways. But I even think little things like that go into our heads more than it ever did our parents.
And my kids are still learning pet safety. Like, we have dogs, but like just the other week, Luke pulled Phoebe's tail and I was like, do not. And they're pretty good about feeding. We've always said you never touch a dog while it eats. But like, I don't know, like I've never seen Luke do that. And Luke's 7, he's never done that before. You know, so in that moment I had to teach him. And Matt can just get really rough. Like, he loves dogs, but he sees Mark like get down and play with them. And I think he's trying to emulate that, but he gets a little too rough. And so, you know, I am in the process of teaching my kids pet safety. Like, I wouldn't say that they no pet safety right now, which is a concern of mine too, like you said, with being around dogs. And similar situation, like we had a contractor come and look at our bathroom today, and I put Phoebe outside. So Phoebe's our Pyrenees mix, and she can get very protective. Like, she's had some pretty scary growls towards people. No, she hasn't bitten anybody, but I'm not going to risk it. Like, I've seen her get really skittish and scared, and I don't know what she's going to do. I don't trust her. So I put her outside. Griffey ain't going to do nothing, our chocolate lab puppy, but I put him outside just so Phoebe wasn't alone. Gracie, I didn't even know where Gracie was in the house when this man came in. Had no idea, because I ain't worried about her at all. She's so old, she can barely move. We went upstairs and she was actually asleep on the bed. I said, you ain't got to worry about her. The only one you got to worry about is outside. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, I'm not just going to trust Phoebe around just anybody. I know she gets scared, and I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable or even risk anything towards me. And what if other people have dogs like that, but they don't have the same rules that I do?
Yeah, I definitely think like we have changed, because my parents, like, they knew I went and spent the night from, I don't know, like kindergarten, even before that, like church friends and everything. It's definitely changed. And I think in today's time too, like, I was different than all, well, you were too. We lived out in the country. So, like, we didn't go, like, we didn't have neighborhood kids that we all played with like a lot of people do. But I've just seen, like, from living in a neighborhood now, like, from what I think people used to do, that's really declined too. Like, mm-hmm. kids don't just come knock on other kids' doors and go ride bicycles together and do stuff. And I think it's probably all because we're just more nervous about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It is more like just stay inside. You don't know anybody. This could be a stranger and stuff instead of that. Like I said, with sleepovers, more like a community feel. So yeah, I definitely think that's a huge difference in our parenting compared to, our parents. Another thing, and this is, I don't know if this is a millennial thing or maybe just me. And I just remember like, oh, when you get married, like it was just a pressure, like an assumption that we were all going to get married. And you know, I have some friends that are married and they've been divorced. I have some friends that have never been married. And I sometimes think people our age that haven't been married feel not as valued. So I never want to instill that with my kids. Like, I know one of my friends was like, I don't have to be married to be happy. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, why are we putting that? So I think that's another thing, maybe not super millennial, but I think trending and maybe more so with the next generation is like my kids, I will say, well, if they want to get married, because I never want them to feel like that's a choice that they have to make. And I hate when they put like, oh, you like her, that little girl, is she cute? See, listen, my kids don't give two craps what anybody looks like right now. They really are not evaluating that.
And my kids care what people look like, but it's usually to insult their family members. But, like, yeah, like, I think, like, right. I was never pissed about the marriage thing. Like, I don't know. I have a feminist mom who was like, you don't need a man to make you happy. Even though her and my daddy have been married for forever. But she never pushed that. But I will say, like, all the time, like, a lot of older people are like, oh, they're so cute. Like, when you see a little boy and a little girl holding hands or playing together, and it's nothing. Like, Maddie doesn't know the difference between a boy and a girl. This is my friend. And, like, there was a cute little picture of her holding this little boy's hand at school, and I was so happy about it because she told me he gets on her nerves because he cries too much. And I saw her holding his hand. I was like, oh, my gosh, she's being sweet because he's been upset. Aww. And no point in that was I like, oh, they need to be a couple. It was, that's so sweet. She's finally showing compassion to him instead of getting annoyed by him.
Yes. Exactly. And, like, you know, it brings me back to some of the stories, like, oh, that boy's being mean to you. He likes you. Well, then you're teaching girls that if a guy is mean to them, that means they like them. No. And if my son, if I found out one of my kids is mean to a girl and I hear the mom saying something about it, oh, she, like, no, what was he doing? No, that's just him being a jerk and I will handle it at home. Like, I would be so mad if somebody was saying that because my kid was being a jerk. And Matt can be a jerk. I assure you, if Mac has been a jerk to one of your kids and they said it's probably one, true, and two, it's not because he likes them. He don't like a lot of people. Like, I can just tell you, like, he's just brutal sometimes.
Maddie is very blunt, but she loves everybody for the most part, but she is blunt. So, like, I feel like I am trying to teach her things that maybe weren't taught before. Like, we were sitting at a restaurant and she looked at, so like, it's hard because she's three. She doesn't understand stuff. And we just been at a party the week before where a lot of people were pregnant and she would feel their bellies and say like, oh, you have a baby. And the moms were fine with her. She's like, oh, there's a baby right here. We were eating lunch and our waitress came up and she had a tummy. Rubs her tummy and goes, there a baby in there, and the woman was like, no, I just like to eat, and laughed it off. But I am trying to teach more body positivity to my children, like we've talked about before, like not the diet culture, the body positivity, and like not to shame people. And I feel like that's a little something that we're dealing with more now and trying to like instill in girls and boys, but like a lot of times in girls, like, your worth matters no matter your size. And also, like, the best thing about you isn't your looks. Like, so many times, like, growing up, it's like, oh, she's so pretty. Not, oh, my gosh, she's so smart. She's so strong. She's so athletic. Like, kind of trying to change that mindset of how we always address kids or talk about their bodies and being more. Yeah. And, like, one thing I will say that I think is one of the biggest things is I don't make my children hug people if they don't want to. It's their body. They consent if they want to. Where I was always, I'm an introvert. I'm not a touchy-feely person. I may love you so much, but I don't really need a hug. And so I was always forced, go hug somebody. And that's not me. Now, Maddie will hug everyone and has no issues with it. And if she wants to, it's fine. But if she doesn't, I'm not going to force them to do that.
The only thing I struggle with is because, like, Mac is picky. And she, so, like, Sean, when Sean comes over, he will hug Sean all day. He will lay on him. He is so affectionate with his Uncle Sean. Like, that is just one of his favorite humans. I mean, it is just the sweetest relationship that they have. Paige, my other cousin, is exact opposite. He really doesn't want too much to do with her. Sometimes he doesn't even talk to her or acknowledge her. And so sometimes I'm like, Matt, can you please just give her a hug? And I feel bad because you're right. I know what you're saying is right. But it just really sucks that he will show. It's not that he doesn't like to, because he's clearly okay with showing Sean that love and affection.
I don't know, Paige, so I'm not saying this about her, but I feel like kids know who wants their love and who doesn't, too. It's like, because in my office, so, like, Jill's one of my paralegals, and she had two kids. They're grown now, and her next step is going to be grandmother at some point in the future. Rosanna loves every animal possible. Like, she feeds possums, but kids are not. So when my kids come to my office, they, like, look at Rosanna and sometimes will, like, hey, but they run into Jill's and get in her lap. So sometimes I think kids just know. And so maybe Paige is just not giving off the vibe of, hey, come sit on my lap and love on me.
Yeah. But all the other kids, like her, you know, she's got several nephews and a niece, and they've always loved her. And Luke was the same. And Luke isn't as huggy as he used to be, but, you know, things change with age, and he's 7. So, like, right now, he isn't as much of that. But yeah, so it is just weird that he's the only, like, kid that's been that way towards her, but I also think they're a lot alike, and so I think that is it as well. I know we're probably wrapping up soon. The only thing I would add, like, I think that we're more understanding of is behavior, in that we don't know what's going on. Like, we're not going to automatically assume a kid is being bad if they're doing something. Like, I do think we think, okay, maybe they're just having an off day, this kid. Maybe they have, like, a diagnosis and, you know, this is impulse and stuff like that. But I do think our generation is much better at being less judgmental on parents for a way a kid is behaving. You know, my mother-in-law told Luke to quit throwing stuff this past weekend, and, you know, Luke's not just gonna quit throwing stuff. It's an impulse of his. He has thrown stuff for 7 years. He's not gonna quit throwing stuff unless you take away what he's throwing or substitute it for something that he can throw that's not gonna be as damaging. But we've completely changed our entire playroom based on that. And, like, we went out to eat on Friday. He didn't eat, but he kept stimming at the table. And sometimes he'd get loud and we would just talk. I'm like, hey, we're inside, bud. We're just going to talk like this. And there, I will say, these older people came by and told us how great our kids were and so well behaved. And it was a shock to me because Luke was in typical Luke fashion. And maybe our generation has kind of rubbed off on the older generations and educating them on stuff, because, like, there were times that Luke, I think we would have been judged for what he was doing, even though for him, it really was good considering.
Well, and I think we are less judgy on other moms. Like, if I see a mom and you're in the middle of, like, Target and your kid is having a breakdown and I look at you, I'm not judging you. I feel sorry for you. I feel your pain, because we have all been there. And I know,
as we say that, I would typically go, we've been there, hang in.
Like, I'm not judging you, because I don't get out the store and my child's gonna pitch a fit. So, like, I think we're not judging the moms and we're not judging the children, because we do understand, like, children are little people. Also, I have to teach this to my husband. Like, this is what I work on with him, is, like, he'll get upset and he will want to yell. And I do too sometimes. But I'm like, do you as an adult want to be yelled at? No. If you mess up at work, do you want your boss to yell at you? No. Well, do you think she enjoys being yelled at? No. Talk to her like in a, like, reason. Like,
a stern tone, but you don't have to yell.
Yeah, like, and talk to somebody like you would want to be talked to. If you make a mistake, I don't want to be yelled at, because I feel bad enough as it is. Like, have compassion with me like you would with anybody else. And I think that's something we all are trying to do better with.
Yeah. And that's one that's a plus I have to give to Mark, is especially with Mac, he's very good at removing him from a situation to talk to him, or just giving him a moment alone to collect himself. Like, he doesn't get mad. He's like, if you don't stop, I'm going to remove you. And he'll remove him. He's like, you need to sit here and calm down. And when you calm down, we can talk about it, or you can come back, but you need to, you know, separate yourself and collect yourself. And that's really helpful, because I think I'm the one that yells and loses it with Mac. I'm the one that needs the talk and to work on it, and I am. But that is, it's nice to have him to like remind me, like, no, you're right, because nobody does like to be yelled at. And I will say I've gotten a lot better.
I will say I have yelled, but it is usually when I get woke up in the middle of the night and I am angry. I would yell at anybody at that point. And I just, it happens. Yeah. It's the middle of the night. You wait like this. I think like two nights ago, Kylie woke me up at midnight to say I have to go pee-pee. And I'm like, cool, go pee-pee. Why are you waking me up? And then her and Maddie both were up at 5:30. And I was like, I probably yelled a little bit. I'm like, get back in your room. But like, I'm struggling.
Yeah. And isn't that the beauty of parenting? We're not perfect, but I think we know what right and wrong are, and what's helpful and beneficial and what's not. And each day we try to do that, and we probably fall short sometimes, and that's okay. We get up and we just try to do the right way the next day.
So. And I do think, I mean, I think my parents, over, I don't want anybody to think we're saying anything bad about the generation above us, because I think my parents did a pretty awesome job with me, just saying. And I will say, like, almost everybody know, like, their parents, and I think all of us are just constantly trying to do the best thing. New research comes out, new things come out, and we just have to change and adapt. But I will say my parents are completely different as grandparents, which everybody knows. So now it's, you can have all the sugar you want. Where when I was little, it was like, no, we're not getting ice cream. So, but we all change. And next week, I think we're going to be focusing on being a millennial business owner and how it impacts us with work and balance and family, like our kids and our parents and all the life aspects we have.
Yep. All right. I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.